This is your station, 88.9 KETR. My name is Jared Knight, and I'm joined on this Thursday morning by Mr. Bob Akin. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing fine. We're observing Groundhog Day.
Well, we're in the thick of it, aren't we? It's something to celebrate.
And I'm sure that's what Pucks at Honey Phil said this morning when they jerked him out of his... I don't think it's really a cage. I think Phil actually lives pretty well.
Yeah, you think they set an alarm clock for him, or do you think everybody just sits around and waits?
I am told burrowing animals don't have to have an alarm clock.
They just find their way when it's time.
But we might want to check with somebody over in the biology department to double check that.
We better break something down, else folks will be mad at us.
Well, let's think about this.
Okay.
Since this is something that happens every year, it used to be well in advance of Groundhog Day, but now the week after Groundhog Day.
Yes.
Super Bowl XLVI.
XLVI.
Which I've always thought a little pretentious to try to pump something up by applying Roman numerals to it, but that's okay.
There may have been a time when Roman numerals did make something more pompous, but at this point, what else has really got Roman numerals on it aside from...
That's true.
You know.
As I recall, it was the third Super Bowl, the one where Joe Namath guaranteed victory when they were 19-point dogs and won.
Yes.
I believe that's the first one that actually used Roman numerals.
Right, that was the first Super Bowl that wasn't just the championship, if I believe.
Yeah, something of that nature. It's worth pointing out that for some of us who find this all just a bit tedious and have no real use for an elaborate playoff scheme in other sports, but many of them have, this year the Giants in their regular season were 9-7. The Patriots, 13-3. One of the better records and better performances, well, in the entire Sunday Senior Tour, not just in their division. In this case, the Patriots have already played the Giants twice. And what kind of knocks a bit of a hole in my objections, they've already played the Giants twice, once in an exhibition game. I'm sorry, preseason.
Yes.
But this exhibition game back in August, that was played in New England. It was a one-point Giant win. Now, I know they don't take these games very seriously. Then again, they played in November in New England again, and the Giants won again. The last time these guys played under remarkably similar circumstances, the Patriots had an undefeated perfect season. This was in XLII. That's 4 years ago to you. But
I started to say, is somebody going to have to pull out their Roman calculator?
Yeah, I think in this case, they had, again, a team that shouldn't have been there. If they're grotesquely overpriced regular season tickets and advertising, if it had any meaning at all, that game should never have been played because the Patriots had already beaten them in New Jersey, where the New York Giants play. This will be the third time this year, exhibition and regular season, that they'll be playing. And just like the rematch of the Super Bowl 4 years ago, there's going to be something of, I think, a, we should probably say, expected upset. Normally, most people would say, well, the Patriots are 13-3, and they've won their playoff games. The Giants were just barely above 500. In fact, had to beat the Cowboys on the last game of their regular season to even have a winning record at 9-7. This is one where the Patriots are only three-point favorites. The last time, of course, this happened was the Giants came from behind late in the game, and a 10-6 Giants team knocked off the undefeated Patriots. There's a lot of wise guys that live out in the desert that think this just may happen again. That's why it's only a three-point spread.
Right.
On the other hand, for what it's worth, the Giants have already beaten them in the exhibition game and in the regular season game. It's real hard, no matter how seriously they are taking those games, to beat the same team three times in a season. And for that reason, as much as I hate doing it, I'm actually going to go ahead with the conventional wisdom and with all the tourists who are actually slightly favoring the Patriots.
So you pick the Pats.
Yeah, but it is not something that I would bet the house on. In fact, I wouldn't even bet a drink on it.
Well, there you go. You'll have to watch and find out just like everybody
But it's something that we may or may not talk about depending on what else happens. But
you mean the Madonna thing at halftime? I think that'd be worth tuning in for.
Oh, definitely. I think that's something, the potential for something spectacular happening at halftime
exists.
Is probably at least as great as anything happening during the game. But I think we should also talk about what happened a couple of nights ago in Florida, where we were talking about the Florida primary.
Mm-hmm.
Predictably, Gingrich got overwhelmed by the expenditures of the Romney campaign. And it was something, though, we need to think as they look forward to some southern primaries, the most southern part of Florida is northern Florida that adjoins the deep south.
Right.
The part that is most like the rest of the country is kind of from Tampa, St. Pete, along the I-4 corridor over to Orlando and south. That's where Romney won. I think that we should kind of bear that in mind. But it's also something that for the next month, most of the contests for delegates are going to be in caucuses, as they are now calling them, by party rule. And since the talking heads on TV have trouble keeping all this straight, it's what we here in Texas traditionally called precinct conventions, in which in your neighborhood you go select delegates, which work their way up the food chain all the way to the county, state, and national conventions for whoever they're for. Invariably, the turnout for this kind of thing is lighter. It's a good measure of enthusiasm than it is broad spread appeal.
Right.
And we'll kind of pick up on this thing, because now nobody knows when the Texas primary and precinct conventions are going to be. They're always on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
But this is something that we're going to have, because Texas is the only state that uses both methods. And it's invariably somebody who's never done either one always convinces themselves that they get confused.
Well, here comes our social studies lesson next time, I'm
well,
sure.
Well, since it's probably not going to be for at least another month or 6 weeks and maybe longer before the Texas primaries actually occur, we got plenty of time.
Well, good. We'll have time to figure it out, and then you can break it down for us.
Why don't we just do that? I'm looking forward to it.
All right. We are your station, 88.9 KETR. Mr. Aiken, thank you so much for joining us.
We'll do it again.
All right.